Today we're going to talk about mercy and grace. And to rest assured, there's not a test at the end today. But you can't fall asleep, David, because I'll throw a songbook at you. You know, couldn't throw anything in class, even though I think I did sometimes. But no sleeping. We're going to talk about mercy and grace. Two words that we hear quite often, two words that we read about quite often, and sometimes I know we overlook sometimes. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I know I've been at the good end of mercy a number of times in my life. I think of growing up, some of the things that I don't know if there would have been a jury in the land that would have convicted my mom on some of the things I did. I think they, once they heard the evidence, they would have probably patted her on the back for putting up with it as long as she did. But mercy is not getting what you deserve. You deserve it. You would be entitled to have the punishment. And we've been given mercy from a religious viewpoint, from a spiritual viewpoint. In Romans 3:23, and Chris, I appreciate you reading these verses earlier. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's not like there's a list of some people have sinned. Certain people have sinned. All have sinned. Amen. And fall short of the glory of God. And the next verse, Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. Because of what we deserve. We're sinners. We stumble. A lot of times, and this can be a whole nother sermon, but a lot of times we look at sin sometimes in the wrong way. Sin is not the way it portrays sometimes on TV. Oh, boys will be boys. The young people have to, they're just sowing their wild oats. They'll come back around. No, sin's sin. Amen. And maybe we need a lesson about, just to remind us, just how ugly sin is. It is a separation from God. It's doing things that God doesn't want us to do. It's violating God's word. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Psalm 4:1, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Calling out for mercy. How many of us have done that same thing, asking God for mercy because we don't want what we deserve? And one of the great things is, at any given moment, we're this far away. We're a prayer away from God. At any moment, a prayer away. And you've relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, Jesus is getting ready to relate a story to his disciples. And of course, it has to do with Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him up to seven times. I just picture Peter being so proud of himself. You know, do you want me to forgive somebody seven times? You know, I think I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever had to forgive somebody seven times for something. But, you know, should I forgive somebody up to seven times? Or up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That's that mercy. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Just a portion, just a small portion compared to what he had owed the big master. 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And Jesus finishes this story and told his followers, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This story that Jesus recounted was a story of mercy and a story of not having mercy after it being given to you. That first servant, he owed the master a ton. And he begged him. The master had compassion on him. And he forgave him. That's mercy. Nobody could have found him guilty for sending him to jail until he could pay. But he released him. And then what does he do? Instead of being glad that he was shown mercy, he sees somebody that owes him a little bit and is going to have him thrown in jail. Jesus wants us to show mercy to others. We get upset at people. Oh, they spoke to me wrong. They were ugly to me. They said this. They did this. They didn't call me back right away. I called them and left a message. After what Jesus had done, after what Jesus had gone through for us, we're complaining about somebody treating us ugly. And then there's grace. That was about mercy. Not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Getting something that you don't deserve. Have you ever been surprised with something? Just out of the blue. You get something, you weren't expecting it, you maybe didn't deserve it. Maybe somebody surprises you with a gift, or you get a card in the mail, or something like that, just out of the blue. You didn't think, man, I didn't deserve that. You get a raise at work. You get something from a neighbor. Something you don't deserve. In John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That's grace. Something we didn't deserve, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We did not deserve the gift that we got. For by grace, in Ephesians, Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God."
Amen.
There's nothing we could have done to deserve it. Nothing we could have done to merit that favor. It was a gift of God. Romans 3, and we read this earlier, Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We have redemption. That's the grace. Through the grace of God, Him sending your Son. Because we've sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. And it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There has to be punishment for sin. But God gave us the sacrifice. Something we could not come up with. We could work till the cows come home and never come up with a sacrifice sufficient that would match His Son. Romans 5, starting in verse 6, Paul wrote, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And in Romans 5, verses 20 and 21, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." We have access to that grace through Jesus. And then in the very next verse, or next chapter, in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then?" Because a lot of people were wondering about this, that if this gift of God is this grace, well, and we get as much as we need, why don't we sin a whole bunch more so we can get more grace? That was what some of the people were rationalizing. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And then skipping down to verse 20, he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not." Just because we've been given grace from God the Father doesn't mean that it doesn't give us license to go hog wild in the sin department. Well, the more I sin, the more grace I'll get. Don't we want more grace? Paul's saying it doesn't work like that. We've died to sin. Because of that, we get this grace.
Amen.
John 3:16 and 17. This is passage that I know we use an awful lot here. It's probably one of the passages that the world over has heard since time of childhood. For God so loved the world. This is the story of the Bible right here. The story of the Bible from cover to cover can be wrapped up in these two verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What a wonderful, comforting passage there. That God in His infinite wisdom had planned from the beginning to send His Son as the sacrifice for us. Mercy and grace, two totally different things. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. But the common denominator is Jesus. Amen. To get the mercy, to get the grace that we want and need, you have to be in Christ. You can't take advantage of this if you're not in Christ. The plan of salvation is simple. God didn't give a secret that only a few people could figure out. The plan of salvation is extremely simple, but people have to be willing to do it. First of all, you have to hear the Word of God. Nobody has ever been saved without first hearing the Word of God. I mean, that's just logic. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You then have a choice, after you've heard the Word of God, to either believe it or not. To believe in Jesus. A lot of people believed that there was a man, Jesus. But some of those people, because of we saw Him. We saw Him walking around. I heard Him teach. But not everybody that saw Him believed He was the Son of God. Jesus says in John 8:24, you have to believe in Me. We have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We have to confess that belief to others. Matthew 10:32. We have to repent of our sins. If you believe, you've heard the Word of God, and you believe in the Word of God, and you believe in Jesus, but you don't change your life, you just keep living that same old ugly, sinful life, what good is it if you don't let it change you? You have to repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, likewise, if you don't repent, you will all perish. Mm-hmm. You have to repent. And He makes it very clear in Mark 16:16, he who believes and, it's a little bitty word, but very powerful. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You have to be baptized for the repentance of sins. Not to join a church, not because of emotional reasons, you know, oh, my friend did or my dad did and I need, you know, to have your sins forgiven. That's where that grace comes into play. That's where mercy comes into play. And it's not all over then. In fact, that's the beginning in many ways. You then have to remain faithful the rest of your life. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, remain faithful until death, and I'll give you a crown of life. It's not kind of like you're safe at third once you're baptized. You have to live the rest of your life, putting effort into it. And that's how we access the mercy and the grace that have already been given to us. That's how we access it. If you're not a Christian, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not come to that point to where you have access to that mercy and grace, you can do so today in baptism. I promise I haven't lost anybody yet. Haven't lost any. I haven't held them down too long. You know, a few bubbles have been coming up, but I haven't held them down too long. I'm not guaranteeing anything. But if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we have an opportunity when Daryl leads us in the invitation song. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you would like to have us go to God on your behalf in prayer, if you need to repent of sins, there's no better time than right now. If there is sin in your life keeping you from walking that path with God, keeping you from God, repent of your sins. Turn from it. Change. If you've been looking for a congregation, if you live here in town, you've tried a few congregations out, and you would like to identify with us here, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song, and your needs will be addressed. Let us stand.